we're doing, and that you have given us so much hope, girls, that we can go back and follow what God says, because just...
Thank you. Thank you. nice. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Hi. Welcome to the workshop on... Hi. Better? Okay. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the workshop on Trudging the Road of Happy Destiny. And my name is Roz, and I'm just here to introduce... I've been a program, I think it's been 3 years. I'm here to introduce the people who are going to give you the important stuff. Okay? The first person is Maria. She's the interpreter, and she's been abstinent since 1984, and how many years in the program? Since 1984, and she sponsors at all levels. Okay, so are you going to, so should I just go to number one?
Hi, I'm Maria, compulsive eater. Sorry about the delay. I thought it would start at 8:30, and so we're a little late here. There was a mix-up with the room, but we're okay now. What this program is about is it's a little bit of history of the program, and we thought it would be a good idea. We were going to have other panels and other people speaking. But there was some confusion because they had already been assigned some workshops. So at the last minute, it was just me. And then hurriedly, we got the people from Mexico to come and join us. So thank you. Thank you for listening. She's going to introduce the panelists and give the qualifications. And then they're going to do their talk. And we have a little video to present to let you know what we're doing in Mexico. So you can have a little place of where we've been. And, you know, just trudging the road, that's what we have tried to do this many years in our program. So pass it on to Ross.
Okay. The first speaker is going to be Coco. 22 years in program, 10 years of abstinence. She opened an intergroup in Mexico.
I just want to remind everybody that if you are going to come up and speak, you need to sign this sheet here with your name to give us the rights of that you're being taped. And also I want to tell you that this is our experience of how we have experienced in our experience and see how. It is not see how as a whole. So I just wanted to see if they wanted us to be sure that that's what we stated to you. Thank you. And Coco is going to speak to you in English.
Good morning. How are you, everybody? That's good. I feel kind of nervous, but it's going to be, over, you know, because I know we're nice people. Okay. I haven't had a problem. I'm going to be 23 years in a program, and it's a very interesting, change of life. And I'm very thankful because it happened to me. So I was here for, I was living here for 21 years. So maybe you guys says, how come she didn't speak English? Well, I'm not that good, but still I'm trying. So, I was working the program 5 years. So I, for many reasons, I had to go back to my country, which is Mexico. And I went and I opened a group in my house with seven people. So I started to do it, and everything was growing every day. So it was nice. And now we got about 46 groups in León, and all Mexico around in Area 6, which is Mexico, there's 66 groups. So you are really we are very thankful, because this is a real change of life for many people in Mexico. And we try to maintain our program very, very deep in our hearts, because that's the only way we can pass this message to many people. And the way I try to be an abstinence, which is sometimes it's real hard for me, but I know that I have those seven tools that really keep me going. Come on, and I try to do it the better way I can. So my life changed a lot. So I'm very, very thankful for that. So my abstinence, I try to be an abstinence because I had those beautiful and wonderful literature. The one is helping me a lot. So, you know, I'm very thankful because I'm here sharing with you guys. And I know this is going to be real nice for us, for everybody, because you really are very nice people. So thank you. And like I say, I was here for many years, but for reasons I had to go back. And now we're sharing our program the way we are working in León, in Mexico, to here. And it's very nice, because the people in here really accept the program the way we're working, which is the same, but, you know, different ways. So it's very nice for me and for all the people from Mexico. I really am nervous. Sorry. See, yeah. So my life is I have been passing for many different things, some, you know, in my family, and this is the only way I'm standing up, because the other way maybe I was already dead, or I don't know what really happened to me, really, and I'm standing up now, and then. I never thought I'm going to be in front of you, but this is real nice. I think this is going to be over in a few minutes. Thank you. So, I was, like I say, I started at home with a set of people, and we just, a part of my family, and they start growing, and when in the first group, we were about almost 70 people, it was necessary to open another one. And then the other one, it was about 100 people, and then 150, and then 200. And we had to be moving in one place, and a bigger place. So the last place, we were about 500 people. Yeah, 500 people. So it was necessary to start opening another group. So we start opening the first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one, and then so on. So now, yeah, we had that many groups. So the people is real, you know, really thankful, because they got this program which their life has been changed a lot. Their way went away, so they got a new life. They're happy. They're better people. Like we try to be a better people. So I try my program. Sometimes it's real hard, because I'm still the same person. I have these sicknesses. I tried to fight, but I had those seven tools, wonderful tools that helped me out to be the place where I am. And I really enjoyed it. I really feel great. And I think I'm the one of the most thankful people around the world, like everybody else, like you guys. So everybody, we have to be very thankful for this program. So there's a way we try to keep my life on and day by day. So I think this is what I can to share with you guys this morning. And one more time, thank you for your kindness to be here to listen to us. Thank you.
Wow. I listen to Coco every year, and every year I just get really enthusiastic and really inspired by her. I wanted to talk to you a little bit before I introduce the next member, which will be our friend Lupita. She's going to show us the DVD. But before I do that, I want to just get you into thinking mode right now before you look at this video. You know, in our traditions and our concept of service, there's a lot of talk about collective conscience of the group. And sometimes we go to our groups and we think, my group is telling me that this is the group, the collective consciousness, and this is what we need to do because it's my group. And this is what we decided on. And I want you to just get into the mode that there's not just a little group here. You know, we have different groups in the other area. We have these groups from different parts of the country, and then we have these groups in Mexico, and then we're going to expand, you know. Thinking the bigger picture of that, how we're going to expand, we have a wonderful world service that it's our collective, you know, our collective conscience. And that is reflected on what you do out there in those little groups. So what we're trying to do with this video is to show a little bit to our group of people. This is what we're going to go and show up to the general public. And, you know, we just want your feedback. You know, we want a response of how do you think people are going to take it out there? And I know it's in Spanish, but I'm going to translate as much as I can as they go along. And hopefully we'll get the, you know, we'll get the gist of it. Okay, Lupita.
Lupita, 17 years in the program and 17 years of abstinence from León, Mexico.
Okay, Lupita.
Buenos días, compañeros. Soy Lupita, comedora compulsiva.
Lupita, compulsive eater.
Y tengo el gusto de estar aquí con ustedes. Mi tema es cómo se formó nuestra área y cómo las promesas se hacen realidad.
She's very happy to let you know that how we form our area and how the promises became a reality.
Con tanto grupo que se formó fue necesario establecer la área y Ray nos ayudó a ello.
With so many groups opening up, it was very necessary to open Area 6 in Mexico. And Ray was very instrumental in helping us do that.
Ella tuvo que ver que realmente México tenía mucha gente y ella fue a verlo con sus propios ojos y darse cuenta de la maravilla del programa.
She had to see the real thing, to know that there were people out there in recovery. So she decided to take a trip to León. And this just gives me the bumps. Because it was back in, 2004, 2005, and then 2006, 2007. So it was a great experience for us to be in the company of Ray.
Nosotros hemos estado preparando material de información para dar para que la gente se dé cuenta que tiene una solución a su enfermedad.
We have been trying to make up material for the people to know that there is recovery for compulsive eating. You will see here we have a banner that we try to bring to the And I'm going to read to you what it says. It says, do you feel that you're hungry for the things and the things are not going the way you want it? Have you sought help to control your way of eating? Have you used medication, caffeine, pills, as a way to control your desires to eat? Do you eat in excess when you feel sad, frustrated, stressed, tired? We have the solution. We invite you to know the way how we can stop eating compulsively. This will help. We will help you gain your health back, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Our plan functions because we are based on spiritual principles of AA and the concept of CA How. This is completely anonymous, and we invite you to come and join us to receive the support of our meetings and phone calls. We want to help. What do you think? Isn't this amazing? These things, when they go on, okay, I'll let Lupita explain that. How does she use that?
¿Cómo usas las mantas? Las ponemos en los lugares de hospitales, reunión, iglesias, permanente, para que la gente pueda tomar la página y se informe.
We put these banners on hospitals, on churches, and where the meeting is being held, so that people will have the information, the website, they can look it up.
Ahora deseamos presentarles el video para información. María se los va a traducir.
Now we will show the video for your information, and I will be trying to translate it here. Do I have the volume on? Yeah, is it going? Yeah, it's on and play. Maybe I need to keep pushing there. Okay, there it goes. Can you hear it? Okay, we're showing you. Oh, this thing is so low. Thank you.
not loud enough.
Can you hear me? This is the good news. It is possible to change. You can do it too. This is what she's saying in the voice. I'm sorry we don't have a volume here. You can do it too. If we open ourselves to the program, we will be discovering gradually that we can progress on a daily basis. Progress. When we admitted that we were powerless, that's when we are in charge of, our higher power is in charge of us. When we find that we're hitting bottom and we are ready, we can leave our pride and come and ask for help and get some help. We can live without eating compulsively, day by day. By using this program, we develop a discipline of eating according to our needs, and sometimes our leaving out self-destructive habits. As we develop our habits and our discipline, we discover that this is another way of life, in an orderly and productive manner. Living without compulsive eating means learning to overcome the pain, the dependency that compulsive eaters adopt as a way of life, the negatives, the aggression, the justification, and the out of self-deceit. I wish you could hear the volume because it does enhance a little bit of it. I think, I don't know if it's my mic and the obesity is only a symptom of our illnesses. It's like having a heart problem, hypertension, diabetes. And it's not only the emotional and depression, the anxiety, and the low self-esteem. The program to eat compulsively gives us a self-awareness of our honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. Go ahead. Okay. Through this program of See How, we start understanding our illness, and then we grow our understanding of ourselves and of other people. And finally, our eyes can see, our eyes are open, and the spiritual aspect of our existence. The association between compulsion and the emotions have been given signals of possible information, and it also could be the cause of our aggression and our physical or verbal yelling or hitting. Doesn't it make a difference when you have the sound? Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, say how. Offers a new way of life
come to meetings where you will find a fellowship full of love and recovery. For more information, you can go to the website to seehow.org or go to this email, or write to this email. What do you think? This is amazing. One of the things I think has come up as we do our flyers, and this is something because I've been involved with some of the committee work, and I want to bring it out to you, and we definitely need to bring it to our meetings. One of the things about graphics, people have, I have heard some concerns that showing the body image, you know, the obsessiveness, that can be distracting. So, but we're not showing human beings. They're really just pictures. And to me, I think that that is good. It's not like somebody's picture is showing up there. And so that's what we're trying to do, create some guidelines so that it does, cover our anonymity, but it brings the message very powerful. So, yeah, I thought it was great. This is the first time I've seen it, by the way. Yes, what I'm hearing, and if you want to come and speak to the phone, come and talk and be sure you sign this. Your name is?
Hi, I'm Laurel, and I'm a compulsive eater. And I'm a designer and an artist. I majored in graphic design, and this was brilliant. This is absolutely brilliant. The copy was brilliant. What do you think, guys? The copy was brilliant. The visuals, brilliant. The way it was put together, brilliant. I think that we should have this in English, and I think we should have that in English. When I watched that fashion show last night, I thought, oh, my gosh. You know how People Magazine has all these people that have lost weight to the lap band? Why? I mean, CEA House should be on the front of People Magazine. You know, these were miracle stories, and they were miracle stories through a spiritual program that's free, and it's actually changing people's lives for the better, not just dealing with the outside, dealing with the outside and the inside. So I think that you guys rock.
We need your help with the committees. So sign up for that, please.
It's wonderful and everything, but my concern, is it against tradition, though?
It's tradition. It's against tradition. Could you explain a little bit which tradition or... Tradition 11? Well, okay, this is something we can talk and discover later on another point. This, we're planning to show it to Lupita. ¿Dónde enseñan este video? This is like an public information, for public information. For hospitals and the social security system of health system. To avoid illnesses, diabetes, and health fairs, to prevent them, the illnesses. Go ahead. Yeah, come up to the phone.
Hi, I'm Karen, and I'm a compulsive eater. I also think that this is a great program, and I am diabetic, and so, you know, this would help a lot of people who need it. But I don't understand where that tradition line is, because basically what we've said is that we're designed to be a promotion, not attraction, not promotion. So this seems like it would be promoting, and even if you put flyers or if you put a banner in a hospital or where we have our meetings, then you technically are advertising, you know, what we offer. And we offer a good thing. It's just that if that's what the tradition, and I'm not, you know, well-versed in 12-step programs, you know, otherwise I'd be in that fashion show yesterday. Explain it to me so I know that we're, you know, where that line is.
Thank you. Somebody else? I think we don't want to spend too much time on, you know, we want to get a little bit of feedback on you. This is for health fairs, and hopefully this will be material that will be for those people that are planning health fairs, that they can go to these resources.
Yeah, it's my understanding. I know Alcoholics Anonymous takes their, AA takes their message to prisons and various places like that. I've understood that we've had booths at health fairs. Yeah. And so there is a fine line. As long as we're not charging money and we're not, I'm not sure we're allowed to put it on TV or anything, but there are a lot of people that are not readers. As a teacher, I know this. And especially more and more that's happening in our society. So the people who are non-readers may never bump into this, or they're wandering around in a crowd of people, they're road dogs, as a dear friend of mine calls them, who are not in having a clue. So if we have something like this to show at our health fairs and to show at other hospitals, as you say, you know, this is an excellent idea. Thank you.
Lola's coming, but I also wanted to just have you do a comparison. Sometimes it's very hard to find a meeting, especially in Mexico. Mexico has, you know, people are taking the bus. They don't go by, just cross street here and there. They go by villages or by, you know, this is the neighborhood. And so having this for people to see, so they can find that meeting. That was the main also, very instrumental for that.
Hi, everyone. Somebody asked what traditions it might possibly be breaking. And, yes, this is for another workshop, and it was called Attraction versus Promotion and How Technology Affected the. But this is a different topic. And just so that I could be really clear, Tradition 11 is our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, not the program itself. It's our anonymity. And the second is anonymity is the spiritual foundation of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principle before personality. The only thing that I would change on this, if it was me, the people's faces, because one, they didn't know they were on there, maybe, possibly, maybe not, and copyright issues of, you know, other places. Other than that, I am coordinating the Orange County Fair, and we have a booth, and we have a big, big, big sign. People can come and ask questions, and we give them information. I don't go out and hand it to you. You come and ask me. And I'm at a personal level, and there are no film, there is no radio. On a personal level, they can come and ask, but it's on a general basis. And yes, I see it too. AA, all these other people have announcements. A public announcement is so different from a promotion. Those are the two differences.
Thank you. Okay. So, yeah, this is what we wanted to tell you. There's so much history about how C-How started, and I think Kamala's here. She could be expert of this, but. Because I just want to tell you a little bit. My experience is from 1993, and soon after I came in, there was this controversy about whether we're going to use our tools and whether we're going to use as the discipline that we have, the structure that we have. And so I, in my new recovery, in my early recovery, I heard these discussions, and I heard it because I was an integral prep. But really, I never had an idea that the other program was so huge and that we were just a small contingency. But when we started discussions about forming an inner group, and I love to type. That's my skill. I love to just type and do it in both languages. So I offered to be secretary, and I don't know that for that formation overall, you know, C-How as a formation, as an organization. And, I didn't know what I was getting into, but
But it was such a ride, you know, and Pamela was one of them. Zombie, who was one of our speakers, was one of them. And, of course, Ray was at the center, and Fred S. Let me tell you, those are memories that I'll ever hold and cherish, because those are the trudging moments, you know. You see that wheel moving, as our design says, and that's who we were, moving that wheel. And so you can see some of these things that are happening now and how we've come along a long ways. We're still young. I think we are, you know, 14 years in my school of management. I used to hear that if an organization lasted more than 5 years, you know, most organizations fail after 5 years. So that was my fear, you know. But no, we passed those 5 years. I mean, we gotta go, and our steps will still be slow. But I'm hoping I live to see that, to see that growth. Thank you.
Our next speaker is Luz Ma. She has been in program for 8 years and abstinent for 3 years, and she's from Mexico.
Thank you. Yo solamente quiero darle las gracias.
I only want to give you thanks.
Porque yo vine en el 2006.
I came in 2006 as a delegate.
No había reuniones en español, no había traductores. Callaban a Mari porque nos traducía.
There were no workshops for Spanish speaking. We were using translation like we're doing now, but we had to go very slow because it was disruptive to the meetings.
Entonces ahora veo las reuniones en español, literatura en español, una gran fraternidad que ustedes de diferente idioma estén con nosotros hoy aquí.
So today we see a lot of workshops in Spanish, a lot of material in Spanish, and just a huge fellowship here.
Estoy muy agradecida con mi poder superior y con ustedes por darnos esta acogida con ustedes. Gracias.
I'm very grateful to my higher power, and I want to give you thanks for your support. Thank you.
Okay. Our last speaker is Ophelia. She's been in program for 20 years and abstinent 19 years, and she's from Los Angeles.
Ophelia is from Los Angeles. She's one of our Spanish-speaking delegates from our Area 1. Ophelia has learned her English skills since she's been in program. She's taking English lessons. I know she was going to say that, so I just have to say that for you. So she's going to try it, and then we'll try to translate if she thinks it's necessary.
Good morning. Thank you for everybody. Hi. I'm very happy this morning for see everybody, and now I live in California about 35 years, but I'm single mother. I have 3 children. I need to work 2 hours, 7 days a day. I can't have time to go to school, but now I lose my job because the company changed for passive money. I don't want to move, and now I have 2 years going to school. Yeah, I can a little more English. I'm very happy to stay with us. And I'm very happy in Area 1 because I have a lot of group in Spanish over here, all areas of Los Angeles. And almost I think so, about 100 or more group in Spanish. But I think so everybody is scary to come to the convention because no, they don't understand English. And they also, they don't have a lot of money to pay the hotel. But I think she is mental and no. I don't understand. I invite now more people. You see many more people because the first year when I come, it's only 7 people in Spanish. Now I think so we have about 60 for the whole workshop. I'm very happy to pass the message for everybody. I invite everybody. I hope next year we have more people in Spanish. But we grow in overseas. We have a lot of groups, and everybody very happy because for me, this program gave me a new life. I lose almost 100 pounds, and I have a lot of problem. Now I feel very good. I have problem with the English too. Now I'm very happy because I went to school. Yes, I try to do more. I try to do more because this program gave me a new life. I have 3 child. Now it's big one. The last one is 21 years. Yeah, I have all my life for serving and how. I go many meetings. I went. I have time to go. And I passed a message, and I'm in the area one, and I'm very happy. Thank you very much.
Thank you. These are the milestones. It really is. Okay, we've got, what is it? We're going to close at 9:45? And we have, I can't see my clock. 10 minutes. So any questions? I know there's people here from other areas, other meetings. And if you want to share your history of how, you know, you came to be, my story. I wasn't prepared to do that because, but okay. We'll take it for 10 minutes. Yes, I'm Maria Compulsive Eater, and I came to this program. My first meeting was the weekend after Thanksgiving in November of 1993. And I had been a year, my aunt had been invited me because she'd been doing the program. She lost more than 40 pounds and she looked great and she looked happy, you know. And she had invited me to come because she knew I had a lot of problems with weight and she's known me since I was a child. I've always had that problem. And she's my favorite aunt. She's more like my sister. So I can't tell her no, you know. But she kept saying, come and see the meetings and you'll see how fun it is. And there was something that said, I know I have a problem, but my problem is not physical. It's not the weight, because I did have a lot of weight. But my problem was that the obsession to eat was so great that I couldn't put my thoughts together. And, you know, we talk about the AA book talks about we call it lagunas in Espanol, the blockhouse kind of thing. And you know, it was like I was having that, and I didn't know what I was experiencing. I tried different weight loss programs. I went to the doctor, and the pills just made that obsession worse, you know, for weight loss. So I couldn't hold them. I took the pills in 1 month. And in 1 month, I had gained 20 pounds just with the obsession that increased with those pills. So, and then to top it off, you know, I was only 18. A friend of mine was paying for it. So when I gained that weight, I felt so bad. I was like, I was cheating my friend, you know. So here is my aunt insisting that I come to meetings. And a year went by. And so we gathered together for Thanksgiving. And she, very happy, she said, don't worry, you're going to come to meetings. I'm going to get you a plate just the way I eat. And that's what she did. She fixed my plate for that day. But also, I was very resentful. I was like, I see this, you know, my in-laws were there. And you know what happens? I don't know about you, but we in Hispanic groups, when these festivities come up, man, we dress up, you know. It's like we get the biggest hairdo that we can, at least some of my younger friends and family. And so they look gorgeous. I mean, they were and skinny. I mean, they were like models. And then my aunt was looking so happy, and I'm thinking, you know, I was mad. I was mad because the way I was feeling. And I'm thinking, what is it that these people have that I don't have, you know? And I went home and realized this whole year my aunt has been inviting me, and I have done nothing about the problem. And I was mad at myself. I said, how can I do that, you know? So I said, I'm going to do it with her. I'm going to go, and she... This is about service. I want you to keep that in service because I can't tell a no to my aunt, you know. And she said, I don't drive. I need a place to go. And she was getting a ride from another relative. And she says, and I want you, it'll be real easy for you. Just get off from work
pick me up, we'll go to the meetings, and then you go home. Well, you know, I had two little children. I mean, actually two at the time. My husband and I were not used to going to meetings. You know, it was like, we go to church, we go to these places, we go to family gatherings, but going to meetings, it was like, I don't know. We were just not brought up that way, you know, and neither was my husband, neither was I. But I felt like, well, this is going to be life cool, you know. I'm going to go, like, because I did like classes. I did like to go to college. I was going to community colleges. And I said, well, I'm going to take it as that. It's going to be one more class. And so I told my husband on that, you know, because he was supportive of me going to school. So I said, okay, it's going to be my class. And I went to the class, and it was amazing. You know, I'm having all these terrible feelings about myself and how life is so difficult. And I hear everybody just saying, all you have to do is give up sugar and flour and negative thinking. And I go, is that easy? You know, I went home thinking, and I'll tell you one thing. The first thing I did the next morning, repeat the same thing that everybody was repeating. I'm a compulsive eater, you know. It was in the back of my mind, you know. And every morning for 3 years, I got up saying to myself, I'm a compulsive eater. I didn't know it was an illness. I mean, it came to that. But just the thinking of myself, the repeating myself that I am compulsive eater. And so, I don't know. There was an awakening the next day. I never brought lunch. But my aunt said, take away all the carbs, get rid of all the, you know, this is all you eat. And she told me the portions. So, and I took a sponsor with me, right? She chose the sponsor for me, right? So, I don't know. I've never told people, you know, hey, this is what I'm doing. I mean, that's not my thing. I started in the morning. I didn't have breakfast because that was not my practice. But I was hungry, and you know, where I work, and I don't know where you work, but some places like universities, people bring food because they're having lectures, and so there's leftovers. And so I never worried about lunch because there was always something there. And it was every moment. And people knew that I was going to take the leftovers, so they would bring it all to me, you know. And so that day I said, no, I'm not going to have that because they told me to get rid of this stuff, you know. And I didn't plan lunch, but I went to McDonald's. I'm going to say McDonald's, but I shouldn't say it. But I'm there, and I'm thinking, I have to take this thing out. And it was no problem. I just remembered that I had to take that carbo out. So I took it out, and I come back at lunch, and I noticed, I said, there's no headache. You know, because usually by the time I come back from lunch, I was having a headache. Gosh, there's no headache here, you know. And 2 hours, 3 hours passed, and I wasn't hungry. And you know, I thought, you know, this thing probably works. But what kept me more worried, and I think what kept me away from the food, was that I was committed to call my sponsor that night. And I go, oh my gosh, you know, what am I going to tell her? And I said, what if she's not there? How do I start the conversation? But I think that's what kept me abstinent that day. So I come home and I call my sponsor, and she says, you know, you made it through this day. It's just today, and you have your books, and, you know, we're going to start. And tell me when you're ready. She said, tell me when you're ready. But what really struck me, and also and part of the awareness and the spiritual awakening, was that I didn't think she was going to be there. I thought, no, she's not going to be there, you know, and I was hoping that she wouldn't be there. But but when she finally answered the phone, I was like, I had never had somebody be so willing, so available for me, you know. And that was, to me, like, I felt special, and I thought, oh, my gosh, this thing is, I mean, I was more concerned about that than what am I going to eat the next day. But she told me what to do, you know, write your food, and tomorrow morning this is what you're going to have. And she was a great sponsor. You know, I just owe her. Her name is Catalina. She's not in the rooms. But I will forever, know my. Somebody shared last night about, my sponsors know more about me than my family. And so I gave her the inventory, and I know I'm jumping into things, but I'm doing the inventory. At the end of the day, I felt like, oh, my gosh, is this infidelity or what? You know, I've opened my heart to this woman, and I don't do that to my husband this much, you know. I open other things, but not that hard, but sometimes. But anyway, I'm so grateful. This is just part of me, and this was in 97. This sponsor just brought me took like 2 years. She said, oh, come to me to inner group meetings. We'll drive together. I mean, she just did. She went the every length to get me there, to give me the message. And I was just so grateful. I went to the meetings, and after I had a little bit of sleep in 90, I had 2 miscarriages, one after the other. And the first miscarriage, I didn't know how to handle all the depression and all that. And so that brought me to a relapse. But it lasted a week. And it was the same feelings that I had on my first day of my meetings. And I said, I can't let it go. This can't go on forever. So gladly I didn't stop the meeting. And I went and I got another sponsor with the relapse questions. And then I went back and did my inventory and I really finished it. So it was really, it's been a journey. And it hasn't been perfect. It's not fast, like we want to lose the weight fast, but it has been a progress of so much done. I just want to tell you some of the milestones that we do in this program. My kids tried the program, and that was my goal, to be an example to my kids. And I said, I want you to come to meetings. They came to meetings. They got their sponsors. In those days, we have young people's meetings. And they lost weight, and they really opened up. And I just want to share some of the milestones in my family. I was having problems with some of my kids having their grades, monitoring their grades, and they were having a hard time. Some of the teachers, these were like advanced English classes, and also personality issues. And I said, no, they gotta learn how to live with that, But anyway, they came to do the program. They came to the meetings. And that year, they started coming to meetings and doing the food plan and calling to sponsors and, doing outreach calls and all that. That year, they went to honors class. And I saw the amazing change. I mean, I think the kids were preparing for college because of this program, And I really grateful for that. My youngest one, she's already talking about doing her master's in biology. And she may not finish it because I know how hard it was. It's been for me. But, I'm just grateful that they made it that far, And I think it's program, The other challenge for myself, I was doing college classes. And tell me how long, because I don't want to go over. But I'm doing college classes, and one class per semester, and sometimes if it got too much overbearing, I would skip one semester and then go to the next one. So this is sad, but it took me 20 years to finish my bachelor's. And I knew that with program, I knew I was going to reach it. This was something that I knew I could do. So those are the milestones, and this is, just so that you can see how the newcomer can have so much growth, So how much time do we have now? Plenty. Okay. I just want to hear from you. What is, this is about trudging the road and if you have stories like this that you want to come up and share, and just give us your struggles as intergroup formations. How can we improve in that area? I really 60 pounds. Actually, it was more than that, and I really didn't count how low. It got to a point where I felt I would sit down for more than a half an hour. My bones were really hurting. And I realized maybe this is too long. But, yeah, I'm maintaining 60 pounds.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Well, this is one area about areas also. I wanted to show you Mexico is Area 6, and so Ray and I and Pamela and many in the World Service, we were very instrumental about forming the area. And so Area 6 went through a lot of pain. The communication link is where we struggled. What area does, so I remember coming to formation meetings, you know, and we were talking about, and I don't know if you remember Tom P., and that was our biggest concern, you know, what do we do as an area? You know, what's the job of an area? Is it just to come into as a delegate? And that was a very big concern, but I now see, now that we're growing, I see how helpful it is to have delegates from different areas, parts of the world, come together into an assembly. And so we helped each other to form our Area 6. And one of the difficulties, and this is stretching the road again, the groups in Mexicali, Tijuana, Ensenada, they were affiliated with Southern California. And so when we formed Area 6, the communication link is probably for them much easier to do here than it is to go to Central Mexico for, you know, whatever reason. But we encouraged them to do, you know, for sign up at Area 6. And last year, World Service Assembly Conference, they moved that to have your geographic areas and to have your meetings in different areas. So we're working to get them signed up with Leon or form their own inner group and be part of Area 6. So those are some of the struggles that we go through. Pamela, did you want to speak?
Thank you. And the discussion of the area is perfect. First, I just wanted to say how fabulous that film is, and the banner as well. And I, too, believe that it is not a break of tradition, because Tradition 11 is personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and public communication. There's no personality in there. We attract people to the program by ourselves, but we promote the principles of the program. So, I just wanted to share with you some background on the people you've been listening to, and the discussion of the development of Area 6 is important to that. The first speaker was Coco, and I always call Coco the Ray of Mexico, because Ray brought how to Southern California, and Coco took how to Mexico, and all of this is due to Coco, who started all those meetings. And Coco also has been a director on the World Service Board of Directors. There are 10 trusted servants, and Coco for 4 years was one of them. And Lupita currently is one of them, is serving her third year as one of the 10 directors of the World Service. So that's the level of service. And Luz Ma and Ophelia are both delegates at the World Service Business Conference. Ophelia from Area 1, Southern California, and Luz Ma from Area 6 that we were just talking about that was developed. So that's the communication and the growth of this program over the years. I just wanted you to know how much we appreciate your service.
Thank you. And, of course, Pamela is president of World Service. So I really thank Pamela, too, for being so supportive to our meetings. And you know, communication in this level of service is so important, because that's how we get you the programs and conventions that you have today. And thank you, Lola, for being such an instrument. So something, I just see a hand, and then I see one here.
Yes.
Be sure to sign the lineup.
Hi, my name is Myra. Se llama San Myra. Yo tengo 15 años. Yo tengo no más. Let me see if I can say this. No. I got rid of 155 pounds 15 years ago. and I don't know if I want to say it, see it back. We were talking about, Maria was talking about trudging, and we all have our trudges, and they seem to always pile. Not that mine started, but the hello there. That's usual, not, they tell me usually to keep my mouth shut. Okay, so anyway, my trudge, or is still going on, in 1976, I was diagnosed as being bipolar. So that means that from one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum, you can go within just like a week. I am on medication, which, thank God, makes me as nutty and as normal as the rest of you. We don't take anything. From that, we are little things that kept me, that I was able to stay on program no matter what. I lost my brother, and 10 days later, I lost my mother. So we wanted to just make that very complicated. And then a few years later, I met a wonderful, wonderful man, and we got married, and then I lost him. And this year has been a real hard year because after 50 years, I lost my best friend. So, you know, it's hard, but the putting the food in the mouth is not going to help. The only thing it's going to do is make you feel like you know what. And so, you know, you just have to go on no matter what. That's the whole bottom line, no matter what. So that's my little story. Thank you.
Okay, I have a hand here in the middle.
I'm Sue. I'm a compulsive eater. Thank you, ladies, so much. And Maria, bless you. One of the things that really got to me in the video was the garbage bags in the mouth. And the fact that the mouth was so big and the garbage bags, which we all know are giant, were so small. And that was an image that I had in my first month in program, which was 16 years ago, that, like, at the fairs, the county fairs, where you have the face where you threw the bean bag in, and I had this image that I kept throwing food in, and it would just go splat on the other side, and it never got filled up. It never got filled up. And that image of the garbage getting thrown in, it's never enough. So not only did you show the body image, but you showed putting garbage in, and it does nothing. And so I think for me it was really impactful. Trudging the road of happy destiny for me is to keep doing and keep remembering where I was. And one of the things that I do, because times get tough and a lot has changed and many, many issues come up and ailments and people come and go in our lives, and the one thing that always has stayed consistent is no matter what, I know if I eat appropriately, I get a chance to do better tomorrow. And when I get stuck sometimes at night, I'm in the kitchen alone, and things start to, I take a glass of water and I cup of tea, and I get the hell out of the kitchen. And if I'm stuck with my food, with the scale, and I'm kind of, there's nobody there, the couple things that have kept me was that line on the measuring cup. It's not a line on the measuring cup. It's God's line. And I don't want to cross God's line. And the other thing is, if I really can't get that spiritual, I say, if my sponsor were standing here and my sponsee was standing here, would I do it? And it's like, no, I don't want to have to tell my sponsor what I did. That little bit of whatever is not worth throwing everything away. And so it's just keep doing and keep doing and to keep sharing and keep in contact. I have a sponsee that I've had for 15 years who's kind of, I'm her sponsor. We know that, but she's also one of my dearest friends, and when I get stuck, I share with her. And what she says to me is, thank you for taking me into your life in that way, because you've done so much for me. And really, all it is passing on. It's a linked chain. We get to have this, and we get to share that. And then we get to have a better life. And so this just trudging the road is just keep doing and doing and doing no matter what. Because as the stuff comes up in our life, and it does, it's like we get to do it an easier, softer, gentler way because of this. I mean, I literally remember being in my living room on the phone with a sponsee. This was probably 10 years ago. And the ceiling in my living room, it was raining extremely hard for days. The ceiling in my living room fell in, literally. And I said to my sponsee, well, I better get off the phone now because I think this is really important that I take care of this pretty soon. And he goes, it fell. I go, yeah. I said, I'll get the guy out here who's been trying to figure out where that leak was. And I didn't panic. You know, it's just, okay, now what do I have to do? Now what do I get to do? And what I get to do is to stay in this program, live in recovery, and continue to take positive forward action. Thank you.
So, anybody else? Okay, and then you. Okay, come forward.
I'm a crier, so so if I do, well, then I do. This has been a really path for me. As the teacher talked about, I was one of those ones who couldn't read. And I was able, before CEI happened, because, you know, your higher power does lead you through things. And I was able to get into a reading program before I started CEI Power. I could have never done that, you know. And I've been in the program for 2.5 years. And I lost 185 pounds. And you know, reading the label stuff was really hard for me because I didn't understand those stupid words. And then reading the books was really hard for me. But I had sponsors who really cared about me. I mean, you know, the one who introduced me, I don't know, I'm going to call it Pat. She's here. She introduced me to CEO. And she wouldn't leave me alone. She kept saying, come. You know, she brought the sponsor I have now, and she talked to me. She lost 100 pounds. You know, it gave me a little hope, just a little hope. Because I was a mess. I was a mental mess. You know, I had some pretty severe mental illness. And the only thing in those meetings that really helped me, and see, I don't know where it's exactly at, but you'll know things, you know, is where it said, you know, there's those who even have mental illness, and as long as they're honest, they can heal. Sorry. And I hung on to that every day. And it's true. No matter where you are, you do the steps. And I don't do them good, but I do them. You know, there's that other thing that says, I have a program. It's not perfect, but I do have my program. You know. Anyway, and I just want you to know that you know, your higher power's out there, and he'll help you through it. And those bad days, they're just bad days. You know, tomorrow's going to come.
My one friend says, you know, this too will pass, just like gas. You know.
And so it's so true. You know what I mean? Yeah,
today's a hell. But give it 10 minutes. Give it 20 minutes. Just eat what you're supposed to eat. And it's going to be all right, you know? Anyway, so I guess that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Okay, we have time for one more.
Hi, I'm a compulsive overeater. I just had to get up here because this lady that just spoke is an example of what's happening in our community. And you are an example of what we can follow. 3 years ago, there was no CHOW in Utah. None at all. Today, we have, 10 or 11 here for conference? She's just one example. There are millions ready to hear our message and share. And we get to do it. So I'm so grateful to you for your hearts, your spirit, your energy, your willingness, and your example. And we would ask you to go and dust off some seats in that meeting because we want to take some chairs. Help us get there so that we can get our organization continually going. One of the biggest gifts we had in our community is we started out with Spanish-speaking lady who knew everything about the program and lived the program all by herself for 20-some years in Utah. But she found us. We found her. We have 5 groups now, so we have at least 1 Spanish-speaking group. And I'm not prejudiced to the Spanish because I'm Filipino. I don't speak. But we have 4 other groups, and we have stories like this. And I know it's going to be better. And to come here and get the hope of what you did with the language barrier. You know, I'm saying, oh, it's so hard, God, it's so hard. But we don't even have the language barrier. And we all have the same needs in the community. People are hurting, people are suffering, people are dying. My mother died from food addiction. My heart is committed to this because I was going to die of food addiction. My brother and my father died of other addictions. And as I'm here this week and how God orchestrates, my former husband died. And he lives right here. And my daughter could fly in and I could be here for her. To handle those things. I mean, this is what God does in our life. So, yes, I was coming to the conference, but, yes, God had a whole bunch of other plans for us. And I just ask you to look at your dreams and your visions, and what does he want? What do you want from me, God, is all I have to say. And then all I have to do is